Welcome to the teaching ministry of Lifetime Guarantee. We've been presenting the message of freedom and grace in Christ for over 30 years. The legacy of the ministry spans every state in the U.S. and reaches into over 140 countries internationally. We're glad that by listening, you're joining the extended family of Lifetime Guarantee. Two things before we begin. First, after you've listened to this teaching, we encourage you to share this MP3 with your friends. Second, your financial contribution will assist us in making more of the ministry available to others. This is so important. You can make a donation at lifetime.org. That's lifetime.org.
Today we're going to begin discussing chapter 6, which we've entitled 20 Ways to Love Your Wife. That is chapter 6 of our book, Marriage Takes More Than Two. Mm-hmm. Most of us guys really do need help understanding how to love our wives. I think, guys, if you would, if you were able to talk back to me, you would say, "Yeah, Bill, go for it," because I really do need some help here.
Well, you all listen real carefully then, because we're going to be talking about ways that you can love your wife now. I remember one time when Bill and I were presenting our seminar in a city near the ocean, and we just don't have much shoreline here in Texas, do we?
Yeah, down south.
Well, not in Fort Worth. Anyway, it was Sunday afternoon, and you know what that means, at least what it means in our household, and that's football. So our schedule was really full, and the afternoon was going to be our only free time, our only chance to explore and enjoy the beach together. So I approached the man of the house, and I said, "Bill, let's go for a walk on the beach."
And guys, you know, women look in these magazines and they see these ads, these full-page ads that the travel agencies put in there, you know, showing these two silhouettes walking on the beach. And this is why she was saying, "Let's go for a walk on the beach," right?
Right.
But Delbert Dumb here, I don't understand that. And so I respond to her, "But I'm watching a ball game. Dallas is playing."
"Well, but we won't have another chance. You know that our schedule gets so full. This is going to be our only chance to walk on the beach."
And so I said, "Well, why don't you go ahead and take a walk, and I'll stay here and watch the ball game." And she did.
I did. I readily confess that it wasn't at all like I had hoped it would be. It was more of a regaining my composure walk than that lovely stroll hand in hand down the beach that I had imagined. But we do have a picture of us, 8x10, walking down the beach, just merely silhouettes, holding hands, and it's nice.
Yeah. Yeah, cost me a bundle to get that photographer out there. Okay. Well, guys, we husbands typically don't come factory equipped to discern when our wives are saying, "Love me today," by strolling down the beach hand in hand with me. We got to learn these things from our wives. Now, Annabelle and I are going to explain to you guys what a wife needs from her husband. And guys, I want to confess to you that I'm just as mentally retarded as you are in this area. And the only reason that I'm able to stand here behind this mic and give you some advice is because I have humbled myself and listened to Annabelle and listened to hundreds of other women explain to me how to love your wife.
So you want me to start the explaining?
Right.
I think that it would be good to start in Genesis 3:16. And I know there are a lot of different opinions about the interpretation of this verse. I really love the way Ken Taylor's Living Bible paraphrases this. It says that a woman will desire her husband's affections. I remember I was reading the Family Weekly, a periodical. I really don't know if it's still in print or not, but it was years ago, and I came across an interview with an authoress by the name of Taylor Caldwell. Now, I'm not saying that I've read her books, and I'm not promoting those, but I am saying that this interview was very interesting. It went this way. When asked if the nine-hour TV production of her book, Captains and Kings, would bring her solid satisfaction, this was her reply. There is no solid satisfaction in any career for a woman like myself. There is no home, no true freedom, no hope, no joy, no expectation for tomorrow, no contentment. I would rather cook a meal for the man I love and bring him his slippers and feel myself in the protection of his arms than have all the citations and awards and honors I have received worldwide, including the Ribbon of Legion of Honor, my properties, and my bank accounts. They mean absolutely nothing to me, and I am only one among the millions of sad women like myself.
Wow. But now, wait a minute. There are people listening who are single gals or single again gals. Does this mean that they are doomed to live like this lady is describing?
With no contentment?
Yeah.
Not at all. For the single person, for the single again person, for the widow, you are completely provided for by Jesus Christ, your heavenly husband. You are complete in him. And as you rest in that, you will experience contentment and fulfillment.
But you got to know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. We're going to be discussing that a little later on,
mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When Bill and I first began doing our seminars years ago, our format went like this. I would work with the women for an hour or so while Bill worked with the men. And as I worked with the ladies, I would have them finish filling out a statement for me. Now, this was the statement. I wish my husband would love me by. Well, I stopped doing that because it was repetitious. I don't care where I went, I got the same answers. And so after several years, I quit. But being the super, super perfectionist that I was, I saved all my little slips of paper. And one day I sat down and I categorized them. We are going to share with you the top 20 from all of those hundreds and hundreds of answers that we got from the women filling out the little phrase, I wish my husband would love me by.
And they're listed in a hierarchical order, aren't they?
Yes. With the one that was listed far and above all the others as being number one.
Yeah. Okay, now, in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 27, we find these familiar verses talking about loving your wife. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Look at the pronoun, her, feminine. The church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Verse 26, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church, his wife, in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. This, then, is a description of how I am to love Annabelle. And as I said a little earlier, I'm stumped. I'm sitting here saying, but what does that mean?
Right.
And so Annabelle and I are going to begin sharing with you guys the 20 top ways that wives say that they want to be loved. So these 20 ways, then, are a description of how to love your wife like Christ loves his wife.
Right. Okay, now remember the phrase, I wish my husband would love me by. Now, the number one that was listed far and above all the others, it was real interesting. Before I tell you what it was, we were in a little town in Texas, Ennis, Texas, and I asked all of the ladies to finish filling out this statement for me. There was one little lady in there, I guess she was in her 80s at least, and she very obediently took a slip of paper and started writing. I was interested to know what she had written down, so when I took them up, I dog-eared hers.
Sneaky, sneaky.
So I could be sure and see what it said. She had changed the wording just a little bit, but she was asking for the same simple gift that hundreds and hundreds of other women have asked for. Number one, I wish my husband would have loved me by listening to me. And you know, strange as it may seem, we never seem to grow out of this desire. That's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's so simple.
We have also asked several groups of couples this question. What one thing would you say has hindered your marriage from becoming everything that you dreamed it would be? Now get this, guys. 39 out of every 100 couples that we asked that question said that communication had been their Waterloo. Now, communication doesn't come easily. It's work, isn't it, Annabelle?
Mm-hmm.
It's work, man. It takes time. It takes commitment. And frankly, there are too few people who are even interested in listening. Generally speaking, if you're talking with somebody, you'll say something and it'll trigger something in her mind or his mind. And instead of listening to you, as soon as you stop to take a breath, why, they jump in and take over the conversation. They may take it in a completely different direction.
Mm-hmm. They're formulating their thoughts, what they want to say, instead of listening to what you're saying.
Yeah. Now, by applying the things that we teach on this in this ministry, Christ living through me, will Jesus Christ act like that?
No.
No. He'll tune in. And so communication refers to the actual practice of discussion. And every one of these 20 ways that we're going to be discussing of how you wives want your husbands to love you involves communication in one form or another.
Well, now, you know, let me interject something here. You know why that's so? It's because only as you listen to me will you actually understand how I need you or want you to love me.
Yeah.
That's the reason listening is number one. That's how you're going to learn to love me.
That's right. And I believe God has given me some insight that He designed me, and after He built me and fixed me up, He took a pair of wire cutters and reached in there to my brain and nipped out that part that understands women. I mean, it is gone. And He fixed it. I mean, it's a conspiracy. You heard me say this before, but it's a conspiracy. I mean, I'm being facetious, of course. But it is to force me to humble myself and listen to my wife. And how many years, guys, did I blow this thing royally by failing to understand that this is the way that Annabelle wants me to love her? So, you communicate through interacting verbally, yes, but you communicate by listening or not listening, touching or not touching, planning or not planning with your wife, participating or not participating in what it is that she wants to do, making eye contact, using certain body language, certain looks, little acts that seem insignificant maybe to us guys, but our wives are really into that kind of thing. Try to visualize what form of communication will be necessary to meet this need that your wife has. So Annabelle's going to start now by giving us the second one.
Okay, this is number two. I wish my husband would love me by taking my petty problems seriously. Now, what do we mean by petty problems? Well, they can range from areas where maybe we're insecure and need our husband to reassure us, to an area of what I'll call intuitive unrest. You know, we are intuitive creatures. I just need to talk to you. I really just have to talk to you. Could you give me just a few minutes? But here are some examples. Like maybe the wife would say, "My car is making a funny noise."
Now, and generally, what you're really saying is, please love me by listening to this problem and doing something about it.
Right. But what happens is that the wife generally winds up feeling like a complete idiot because the husband starts interrogating her. Where did the funny noise originate? Was it in the transmission? Did it come from the left rear fender or the right rear fender? Was the car warm when you heard it, or was it cold? When does the noise begin? And on and on.
Boy, I bet you feel sorry for those wives out there that have husbands like that, because your husband would never do anything.
As one woman said to me, she said, "When I say something like that to my husband, he looks at me as though to say, 'And what do you expect me to do about it?'"
One of the most infamous, quote, petty problems is the grocery budget. Boy, I remember when we were really watching our pennies, you know, really pinching them, that if it came to the end of the month and the money was really scarce, what would be the first thing I'd say?
"We've got to cut back on groceries."
It's one you didn't have that thing stitched into some cloth, you know, and framed on the wall. "Annabelle, we've got to cut back on our grocery budget." Now, we never cut back on anything else, but we had to cut back on the grocery budget. I really laid it on you. Well, sometimes when a wife tries to discuss the rising cost of groceries or clothing for the kids or something like that, why, a husband can be insensitive and just lay the ball right back in her court by saying, "That's your problem. You just stay within the budget." Mm-hmm. And that is not Christ living through the husband.
Mm-mm.
The husband is to let Christ control and live through him, listen to the problem. He may have to come back and say, "Now, you are not staying within the budget. Remember, we agree that this, you know, sometime that may be Christ through him." But just to come back with that comeback, a pat answer like that, is not the life of Christ.
Mm-hmm. How would it make you feel if you were assigned a task by your superior, and yet you never had the freedom to go and talk to your superior when rising costs came or when something happened? If you were given that responsibility but were not able to discuss it with your superior,
it would be very frustrating.
It would be frustrating.
And hey, you'd feel unappreciated and misunderstood. Mm-hmm. And that would be the same way that a wife would feel. And this is the reason that she's spelling love, "Take my, quote, petty problem seriously."
Right. Here's some more petty problems. "The washing machine got spots of oil on the clothes when I washed them today." Or, "I don't know whether to include the Jones in our dinner party or not. What do you think?" Or, "The toilet made a gurgling sound when I flushed it this morning. Doesn't that mean something bad's going on?"
And what you're doing is calling out for love, mm-hmm. calling out to be loved. You want me to discuss it and be interested in it. So, guys, this is what your wife is saying when she comes at you with things like this. Now, it may be difficult for you to accept the importance of this problem. If you're dealing with, let's say you are some sort of a CEO and you're dealing with millions of dollars a day, or you're making life and death decisions as a physician, we'll say, or maybe you're a foreman over 40 or 50 employees and you really are under great pressure making a lot of decisions for these people, or maybe you're just in a job that you really do dislike and you feel like you're just struggling to survive in that, and you come in at the end of the day and here comes this thing, "I don't know whether to include the Jones in our dinner party or not." And the devil will put thoughts into your mind with first-person singular pronouns, and it'll be just as if they're your own thoughts. He's trying to get you to spit them out and cause a big problem. Those thoughts will be, "Can't she see that I'm not interested in such penny-ante stuff as that? Can't she see what responsibilities I have?" So the devil will tempt you to look at your wife in disbelief that she would bother you with such trivia as this, when you carry so many responsibilities. Now listen, brother. Christ, through you, is able to handle this situation. If he's not, then the Bible is not what it's cracked up to be. Because the scriptures say we can cast all our burdens on the Lord. Not only can, but we must cast them on the
right.
Lord. And that Christ is able to meet every need that I have, including what we're talking about right here. This will absolutely transform your marriage if you will begin to let Christ live through you to minister to your wife by all of a sudden becoming attentive when she discusses with you what you view as petty problems. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. Listening is just a common courtesy. And when I ask your advice, husband, I'm placing you in your position as my authority, as my spiritual leader. So very often men want to be the head of the home because of the power it bestows on them. God has placed you in that role, husband, because of the responsibility it gives you. If you don't listen to me, husband, and give me your advice when I need it, then you really don't have the prerogative of reprimanding me when I make mistakes that are wrong or maybe even tragic. Headship involves a lot more than everyone jumping when the head says frog.
Step number three, or way number three, by communicating more openly with me.
So the whole phrase reads, I wish my husband would love me by communicating more openly with me.
Yeah. You want me, as your husband, to be more open and transparent with you.
Right.
And by giving you feedback, verbal feedback.
Right.
Yeah. You know, a strong, silent male can cause big problems in a marriage relationship. And I think maybe this is not very well recognized, but especially if you're a strong, silent male who is very talented and capable and perfectionistic in your own lifestyle, if you don't verbalize things, you're going to be used by Satan to do a lot of destructive work simply by being silent in your home. It worsens if you use grunts and shrugs and eyebrows and and two-word phrases such as, who knows? Who cares? I'm tired. What's that? And other such responses. If you're doing this, you're not loving your wife. I know a situation years ago that I remember where the husband was like that. He just never said anything around the house. His wife could go to the beauty shop, get her hair done, and boy, she was a pretty lady. You may remember this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And she would dress herself nicely, and her husband, we'll call him Mary and John. John would never say anything about her. Well, one day a visitor came, a guy from out of town, and he spent a couple of days with them in their home. And this guy began making comments to her. Boy, you look nice. Man, you're a pretty woman. I love the way you wear your hair. Now, she's not out to try to have an affair. This is a born-again woman, and she's committed to her husband. But what's going to happen, maybe, in this situation, Annabelle, as this guy says these things to her?
Well, what happens to you when you're real, real thirsty and a glass of water is there for you to drink?
Now, is it sex that she's thirsty for?
No, not at all. She is thirsty. She is starving for her husband to talk with her, to communicate with her.
So when a wife has this lot in life, she might fall into the trap we've just described.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, she might start jabbering all the time just in sheer frustration, just to get some noise going in the relationship. She might talk on the telephone hours on end, but never really getting this need satisfied that she has for communication with her husband. Or she might just give up and just cease all communication once the door closes. Due to the husband's non-communication, the burden for keeping this marriage alive falls totally on this wife, doesn't it?
Oh, it really does, and that is so wrong for that to be the way it is. But there are so many marriages like that where the burden for keeping the marriage alive, keeping the relationship together, is, like you say, it just falls to the wife.
Now, Guy, if you have the idea that your responsibility in the marriage is just to bring home the paycheck, you're liable to wake up and find out too late, after you're served with the divorce papers on down the line somewhere, that your wife couldn't, indeed wouldn't, tolerate your view and finally just gave up on the relationship.
Well, what the woman wants is someone to communicate with her on an emotional level, someone who's willing to reveal their feelings, willing to become vulnerable. A female is a people-centered person, an intuitive, emotional creature, and she longs to share those deep inner thoughts and feelings with her husband. In other words, she wants him to be her best friend. Is that difficult? Definitely.
Mm.
Is it worth it? Oh, yes. And it's not that she wants to talk about herself, although that's important to her. She wants you to be interested enough to find out about her, but she wants to know your deep feelings. She wants to know your dreams, your hurts, your doubts, your secrets. You see, this establishes a very intimate oneness, and women like that.
Now, brother, you're listening to Annabelle, and the thoughts are coming to you, I'm not like that. I have never been like that. I have never been able to share my deep feelings. My parents weren't that way. We just did not do things like that. She knew what I was like before she married me, and I just can't change. You can't change the spots on a leopard. Those thoughts are not coming to you from the Holy Spirit, and they are not being generated in your sound mind if you're born again. They're being served up to you by Satan through the power of sin into your mind with first-person singular pronouns. The devil is going to use your unique version of the flesh to try to block you from ever letting Christ live through you to begin to minister to your wife and love her in the way that Annabelle has just been describing. You can do this, but you've got to get out of the way to do it. You've got to let Christ do it through you. Bill, you mean that he'll just automatically take over and I'll go on autopilot? No, I'm not saying that at all. It's done by faith, brother. You grit your teeth and believe that Christ is living through you, and then you begin to wiggle your lips and you begin to say these things. You begin to share by faith that it's Christ expressing through you to your wife these deep thoughts and these deep feelings that you have. But, Bill, that'll make me vulnerable. That's right. That is right. But Christ is sufficient. And you and I have got to give up this business of protecting ourselves and building walls around ourselves to keep from being hurt. Mm-hmm. Because that's flesh. That is not the Spirit-filled life.
And, you know, that is one of the things that happens very frequently when the wife says, I need to talk with you, or could we sit down and talk? When the wife begins to touch this emotional barrier there, then the husband becomes hostile or defensive. And I know that was the way it was in our early years of marriage.
Well, it's still there. I mean, it still bothers me. It's nothing like it was, but especially if this happens and I am already tensed up over some other episodes that have come into my life, then my feeler really tries to go up. My emotions try to go up. Let's say that they're sitting there on a 5 when you make this statement to me. Then they go up 2 points. Now they're at 7. And that makes it more difficult to let Christ live through me to sit there and really listen and be attentive and interact in this situation.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, as you look back on teenagers, when the girls get together, they talk about these deep, intimate things. When the boys get together, they're wrestling, maybe talking about a football conquest, things like that.
We're talking about the girls talking about those deep, intimate things.
Right. But it's just a carryover. It's just a carryover, and we love that. Okay, let's go on to number four. I wish my husband would love me by noticing me more, not just when he wants sex. Now, this is the only reference to sex in the top 20. That is not to imply that a good sex life is unimportant to the female, but if the only time a husband notices his wife is when he wants sex, then what's happening is that he is lowering his wife to a piece of equipment around the house to be used when needed, like the washing machine or the iron. That's a pretty good definition of a mistress or a prostitute, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm a wife, not a mistress, and I need my husband to elevate me to that position.
Now, that means including you all day long in my life as my partner. That means including you in the sex act as my partner, not as an object.
Right.
Webster defines partner, someone you talk things over with, someone who engages in an activity with another, joint interests. Now, we can build together on that definition. The physical union for the woman is a far more complex thing than it is for the man. For the woman, all of these things that we're talking about here, listening to you, paying attention to the, quote, petty problems like a funny knock in the washing machine.
Communicating
with you, being interested in you, sharing my deep thoughts with you. All these things are somehow involved in physical oneness as well as just in loving you like Christ loved the church.
Well, what it is that the female responds. Remember, we said that the male initiates and the female responds. Okay, okay, let's go on now to number five. I wish my husband would love me by saying thank you for the little things I do. Years ago, as a child, I learned a poem, and I don't even know where it came from, but it says this, a little word in kindness spoken, emotion or a tear, has often healed a heart that's broken and made a friend sincere. It will really help your wife, too. You know, expressing thanks has healed many a wound and encouraged many a tired soul and impressed many onlookers. And it's certainly well-pleasing to God, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me read something from someone and give you her viewpoint. She says this, I resent my husband deeply, Annabelle. I resent his being gone all of the time. And if he is home, I resent him curling up with his paper on the sofa while I continue with the dishes and kids and clothes and baths and bed and on and on. I resent it that he can make it to a meeting or to work, but never to anything I would like to do. I resent his haphazard jumping on the kids' approach to discipline. I resent having to get out of my chair to switch his TV station for him, especially when I've finally just gotten settled and he's closer to the TV anyway. And I resent my kids. I love them. Oh, I do love them, but it seems there are times when I just can't stand them. I guess it's that I resent being a servant to everybody when no one seems to appreciate what I do. And Annabelle, if I confront my husband with the way I feel, somehow it always winds up being my fault, and I wind up crying. And Annabelle, I am so tired of crying.
Hmm. The need to be appreciated.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about the needs of the wife, and we're talking about how I am to love you. But a male has this same need, doesn't he?
Yes.
And I just want to slip this in here because I think it's so important. I believe that the sin of ingratitude is a biggie. God speaks very succinctly and directly to that point. The sin of ingratitude is a biggie with him. So here's a viewpoint from a man that spoke to us one time. You know, Bill, if the husband gets up every morning and goes to his 8-hour job and then comes home to nothing but flack, somebody yelling at you because you didn't do something they wanted you to do, or because you did something wrong that you tried to do, if all the kids ever do is just take and take and take, but never take the time to say thanks, then one day you're going to be heading for your 8-hour daily, and you're going to come to a fork in the road. One fork leads to people who see you as a money machine, who ride you, criticize you, show no gratitude at all for what you do. The other fork leads to what looks like freedom. And you know, Bill, you're pretty tempted to take that road that leads to freedom. But of course, we know that that road that leads to, quote, freedom is not what he thinks
it is. It's an illusion.
It's an illusion, right. It's simply that in a marriage relationship, by letting Christ live through us, we can both begin to be grateful and express that gratitude to one another.
Now, the pronouns that I'm going to be using are female, but I agree with you that it's the male need also. Mm-hmm. So we can put male or female pronouns in here. Being grateful and expressing your gratitude to your wife will work wonders in your wife. For instance, number one, it's going to make her feel needed. It's going to make her feel important. It's going to communicate, what would I do without you? Instead of communicating, look, I got along just great without you when I was single, and I still can get along just great without you.
Before you start on these, I guess I should have interrupted you just a second ago, but some fella has come up with an idea in psychology that you can categorize the needs of man into, and that includes the woman, into the need to belong. I need to know or believe that I belong to at least one person. And I need a sense of personal worth. I need to feel like that if I were gone, the earth would be a poorer place because I'm a person of value. And number three, I need to feel that I'm competent, that I can do at least one thing pretty well, preferably more than one. Three categories here. So what you just spoke of there is expressing gratitude. It makes a person feel needed and important. So you're talking about building up that sense of value, that sense of worth mm-hmm. that we all need. Now, where'd those needs come from? God wired them in there, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants me as a husband, he wants to work through me to enhance or supply a part of the need that we're discussing.
And here, by the same token, to work through me to supply that need for you.
Uh-huh.
So you're saying these things that I'm going to be enumerating here will fit into one of those three categories.
Well, let's just see if they don't.
Okay, the second one, it encourages her to keep trying. If you show your gratitude, if you show your appreciation. You see, what not ever saying any words of appreciation communicates is, what I do isn't important. Anybody could do what I do. But when you say things, words of appreciation and compliments, what that communicates is what I do is important. I am effective in what I do. So which category would that fit in?
Yeah, well, competency. And let's take, for example, let's say that you're making a pecan pie, and it was years ago before you really learned how to make them real well, which you can do now. But let's say that when you baked a pecan pie, and let's say it's watery and soggy in the middle and so forth, and you apologize for it as you put it out to the family, then, and I'm the silent type. I have flesh that just does not, I do not express myself. So I just sit there and I don't say a word. Now, what if this is our lifestyle so that each time you put something out that's a little below par, that your husband is just very silent. He never says anything about it. then what's going to begin to happen to your feeling of competency?
It's going to plummet downward.
But on the other hand, what if I say to you, yeah, it's a little watery. Sure, I agree with you on that. But man, you know, you do a good job of cooking, and I'm proud of you. And you'll get the hang of this one of these days. If you don't, well, hey, let's toss it. Well, you know, we're not going to die because we don't have pecan pie. To encourage you like that, you know, and say things to you in a positive way, especially when things turn out really well, like the fried chicken will say, then on the other hand, what's that going to do for you?
Oh, it's going to encourage me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there would be one husband listening who would say, look, I'm a truthful person, you know, and I'm not going to tell her something's good when it's not good. And I think that you just made that clear. It's not that you're going to say, hey, this is delicious. You're going to compliment me for trying.
That's right.
And that's important.
That's right. I know a woman one time who was just like this fella you just described there, the hypothetical fella, who would say very blunt and cruel things about another woman's clothing, claiming that she was just being honest and just being forthright and truthful.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Jesus Christ. That's not the life of Christ through a person. That's the devil controlling a person through the flesh.
But you know, somewhere or another, we've heard this little cliche all our life, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And so we categorize that as, if I can't tell the truth, it's better just to be quiet and not say anything. And that's just not the way we need to approach it, is it?
No.
Okay, let's go ahead with number three here. It enhances her sense of self-worth. You know, you, husband, by your verbal gratitude, can do more for your wife's self-esteem than years of counseling can do.
Oh, you bet. There's that sense of worth again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and number four, it lets others see that you are considerate of her and she loves that. What category would that fit in?
It makes her feel like she belongs.
Mm-hmm. And number five, it trains your children to express thanks and to appreciate her contributions to the family. And for that, she especially appreciates you, husband.
Now, the sixth way is, I wish my husband would love me by being interested in my life, at least acting like you're interested. Now, we're back to communication again.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I have to communicate to you an interest. Does that mean I always have to feel interested in your life?
No, just act like you're interested.
Yeah. Now, how am I going to do that without feeling like I'm a phony?
You're going to have to realize that you're being obedient to Christ. You're loving your wife in a way that she has asked you to love her. It's not that you feel like doing it. It's that she has asked you to, and you know that she needs that. And so out of obedience, you're going to allow Christ living in you to do that.
Uh-huh. You could say, as a wife, that you just don't feel like cooking meals three times a day.
Right.
And in fact, you don't ever feel like cooking meals.
You're getting warmer.
I love it. That's great.
You mean you're not inspired to do laundry either?
You just don't feel like doing the laundry.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, I jump out of bed and I think, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I get to do the laundry today.
Well, folks, that's the end of the program for all time. Okay. Obviously, it would be great if you felt like cooking three times a day. But with Christ as your life living through you, you just cook believing by faith that it's the Lord using you to minister to your family.
Mm-hmm. You know, it has to start with the admonition that you are, first of all, under submission to Christ.
Yes.
You know, it says for the woman, submit to your husband in the same way that you submit to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Christ, of course, is first there. It says in Corinthians, remember this, that Christ is the head of the husband is the head of the wife, and God is the head of Christ. That's your hierarchy there. Mm-hmm. And we are under submission, first of all, to the Lord. And so these things that we are doing, we're not doing because we feel like doing them, even because we believe in doing them. We're doing them out of obedience.
That's right. Now, today we're talking about a husband loving a wife the way Christ loves his wife, the church. And the wife is crying out to me as the husband, Bill, be interested in my life. At least act like you're interested. So the way that I can love you then is to allow Christ to live through me to act interested in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have you ever talked to somebody and their eyes are wandering around? You especially notice it when you're going through a line to shake hands with somebody that you think is an important person, and you get up there and there's very little eye contact with you. They're looking over your shoulder maybe on down the line. What are they looking for?
They're looking for somebody important.
Yeah.
Coming through the line, and what they're communicating is, this is a nobody right here in front of me. There may be a somebody behind them. I'll check and see.
So, guys, you and I have to keep in mind that one of the most effective ways that we can communicate interest to our wives is eye contact. Just look at them. Another way that I can show my interest is by following up on a conversation that we may have had. Let's say that you and I were talking about one of our kids two or three days ago. And there was some concern in your heart about something about what he was doing, we'll say. You were concerned, and so you said, you know, I just need to talk to you, Bill. Let's just sit down and talk, okay? And I said, well, fine. And so we talk, and you express this concern, and I don't have any answers for it. I just listen. Now, what if I came back two, 3 days later and said, you know, I've been praying about this and thinking about what we discussed, and I believe that we ought to do thus and so. What do you think about that? What would that communicate to you?
That you were listening and that you were interested in the things that I shared with you.
Yeah.
That's so important.
Yeah. Now, guys, try some of these on your wife. When you come in after work, say something like this to her if she had a luncheon date with somebody. How'd your luncheon turn out today, honey? And just see what kind of effect that has on her. How about this one? She's going to go to the hairdresser's today. And she mentions that to you. I think it's good to put that down your day timer. That'd be a good thing, a hairdresser. That would remind you when you get home tonight to say something about it. If you can say something encouraging about it, you might say, hey, your hair looks nice. How you like it? What would that say, hon?
Oh, that you were just aware of me.
Yeah. Or how about you'd been to the doctor today, and I say, what'd the doctor say about that pain in your back? Or how'd your day go? How'd your afternoon go?
Mm-hmm. And let me share the ultimate with you that might just be very difficult for some men to say. But to say something like this, did you find anything that interested you in your shopping today? Try it on and let me see how it looks. My goodness, that would be a thrill to the wife. And right here, I want to interject that I appreciate so much the way you shop with me. Gals, I love for my husband to go shopping with me because I'll try on maybe three skirts and I'll say, which one do you think I should get? And if they're on sale, you know, and priced right, he'll say, I like all three of them. Why don't you get all three of them? Oh,
well,
I love
it. Three skirts a year, well, that ought to be good for anyone. And brother, it makes no difference whatever whether you feel interested, because Christ is interested. Now, how do I know that? Because Christ is interested in you. He's interested in everything you do. You are his beloved bride. Therefore, if I offer myself to him as a living sacrifice to allow him to use me and express his life through me to love my wife, he's going to be interested in her life, in what she's doing, and in the clothes that she buys and all these kinds of things. So the trick is, by faith, I act interested. Just act like I'm interested by faith. Rain on how I feel. And you know what? As you practice this, you'll eventually become interested. You know, you say, Bill, how in the world am I going to do that? I'll tell you how you're going to do it. You're going to have to hold a funeral, man. You're going to have to die. You got to understand that when you got saved, you were a member of a kingdom the Bible calls the kingdom of darkness. And when you got saved, God had no plan for making something beautiful out of your life. Your life was self-centered. His plan is to kill you, execute you in Christ, and then start all over and create a brand new creation in Christ's resurrection. You know, you have no problem and no trouble whatever believing that when Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, there were two thieves on two crosses each side of him. You've seen it in the Christmas pageant. You've heard it at Christmas time till it's running out of your ears, and you believe it. You don't even question such a thing that two thieves died with Christ. But the Bible has much more to say about another thief that died right on that cross. Mm-hmm. And that was you, the one who was in Christ Jesus when he died. So there were three thieves that died on that hill at Calvary. One on each side, and then one who was in Christ. That's me. That's you, who mm-hmm. died in him. Now, if you believe those other two died, why will you not believe that you also died? My brother, it's the key to being able to love your wife. You must understand that the only life you've got now is Christ's life. And by faith, he will live through you to begin to treat your wife in this loving way. Bro, if you don't do it, if you say, no, I'm not going to do that, you are living a life of absolute, total rebellion in this particular area of your life.
And I, as the wife, must accept that same admonition, because therein lies my strength. Galatians 2:20 says this, I have been crucified with Christ.
Let me interrupt you a second.
Okay.
Now, the Lord has shown me that there are two I's in there, two different people, the old man and the new man. So I want to point that out as you quote it. Go ahead.
Okay. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live.
Now, that's the old man. So the old man died in Christ. Okay. Uh-huh.
But Christ lives in me.
Now, who's that?
The new man.
That's got to be the new man.
Uh-huh. And the life which I...
Who's that?
The new man.
That's the new man.
Now live in the flesh. What does that in the flesh mean?
That's in the body.
That means my everyday walk,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
In the flesh. I live by faith...
That's the new guy.
...in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me.
And I've got to appropriate that by faith, believe it by faith, believe that God has much more to say in the Bible about my being crucified with Christ than he does about those two thieves being crucified with Christ, that I am now a brand new man in Christ, and Christ indwells me as my life. Now, I am equipped to love you, Annabelle. I am absolutely equipped to allow Christ to live through me by faith to minister to you to meet these needs. And brother, every Christian husband is equipped to love his wife as Christ loves the church by allowing Christ to live through us to do what only he can do.
We're ready for number 7 on our 20 ways to love your wife. Number 7 is this: I wish my husband would love me by showing affection to me when other people are around. What do you do with something that is very precious to you? Well, you look at it, you touch it, you polish it up, you check on it regularly just to be sure that everything is going all right. You like to have it close. You want to know exactly where it is. You brag about it. When somebody's there, you'll take them and say, let me show this to you. That's what we're talking about.
Mm. Like if you buy a new car, guys, mm-hmm. or how about this, your billfold, when it's got quite a bit of money in it, that's very precious to you.
Right.
And I know when I'm in an airport or something, or in a crowd at a ball game or something, and I sense that there are people pressing in around me, I will oftentimes just kind of hang my thumb in my rear pocket right there where my billfold is, because that's precious to me, and I want to be sure that it's all right. Now, you want me to be that way with you.
Well, that's what showing affection to your wife means. It means giving her a sense of being protected, of being secure, of being precious to you. It makes her feel good because she can think that other people are watching, and she can say, see how nice my hubby is to me. He touches me. He likes to be close to me. He takes good care of me. He loves me.
Now, where'd you get this need? I mean, are you just on a big ego trip? Is this what this is?
Well, where did you get your need for praise?
Well, that's from the Lord. We're not talking about that.
Well, this is from the Lord, too.
Sure it is. Of course it is. I remember one time years ago, I don't know whether you remember this or not, we were over in East Texas, and we pulled in at a restaurant way out in the boonies somewhere. As we pulled in to park, why, another couple came in, and they were a lot older than we were. And I remember the guy was a little cowboy. He had his cowboy hat on and everything.
I remember this well.
They pulled in there near us, and he got out of his car and really just kind of shuffled around the back of the car real slowly. You know, I mean, the guy was old, let's face it. Earth suit was wearing out. And he opened the door for his wife, and she got out, shut the door, and she put her arm through his, and they shuffled into the restaurant ahead of us, and we were behind them. Went in, and they sat down in a booth, and instead of sitting down across from each other, they sat down side by side in the booth, and she continued to sit close to him. You never get too old to need this, do you?
No, you never do. Okay, let's go on to number 8. I wish my husband would love me by sharing his goals and values with me, by talking his business over with me. I think that maybe young mothers are the ones who feel this need the most, maybe especially after they've been carrying on not-so-stimulating conversations all day long with a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
Or maybe an older woman may need it because the nest is empty. She longs to be a part of her husband's life. But all of us women love it because it gives us a sense that you recognize our intelligence and that you want us to be a part of your world. And a lack of communication about your goals and work cuts me out of the major portion of your life. Did you realize that?
Yeah.
Discussing important decisions that affect the family welfare would be included here. For instance, if you have a chance at a job promotion, but it means moving to Arizona, talk to me about it. Or if you have the chance to become involved in a very lucrative business endeavor, but it's just a little shady, let's talk about it before you make me a part of something that's against my moral values. You and I are one, and we need to discuss these things. Mm-hmm. We were reading, if you'll remember, or you put something on my desk, and I really don't know where it came from, but I think that it's kind of cute and illustrates this pretty well. This gentleman is saying that he suggested to the husband and the wife that they come up with a budget to control their miscellaneous overspending. They left and came back in about 2 months, and I asked the husband, "Well, how do you like the plan so far?" And he said, "This is great. I've got our spending under control, and we're not going any further into debt. In fact, we're actually paying off some of our indebtedness and have a small savings." I then asked his wife, "How do you like the plan so far?" This was her answer. "This is absolutely the worst thing that has ever happened in my life." "Why is that?" "Well, I thought you told me this would be a plan that would work for both of us." "Well, that's right. It should." Well, let me tell you something. He has decided that my hair is miscellaneous, our kids are miscellaneous, my car is miscellaneous, the house is miscellaneous. And she went on to name the things that he had trimmed out of the budget. But, she finished up, his bass boat is not miscellaneous.
Nor his shotgun.
Right. We need to discuss things like that, husband.
Yeah, that's hardly Christ living through the guy, right?
Right.
You know, brother, we have mentioned before that one of the differences between you and your wife typically is that you are more of a logical thinker and your wife is more of an intuitive thinker. Now, that'll vary sometimes, but typically that's the way it is. And you would be amazed at what God will use your wife to communicate to you if you will share your business problems with her. And just trust that the Holy Spirit is going to work through her intuition to give you some insights into some of the problems that you have. Mm-hmm. A survey was taken by the Comprehensive Accounting Corporation. They surveyed 203 small business owners and asked them to name their very important sources of information. Now get this, 61% of them listed their spouses as one of these sources. I think that's marvelous.
And that amazed me.
That's marvelous that these guys have been doing that. Look what that would do in our relationship if I would share these things with you and if you could actually see me from time to time incorporating some of the things that you would share with me into my business.
Oh, it would make me feel like a part of your life.
Yeah.
It would be very exhilarating for me.
That I need you.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's go on to the ninth most popular way that wives say they want to be loved. I wish my husband would love me by remembering me with little gifts or just planning an evening out every so often. I remember a couple of guys who, they read about some sort of a little vacation weekend getaway for $150 or something like that down in Houston. And we live in Fort Worth. And so they got together, they went to this travel agency, bought the two packages, and then they enlisted the aid of a female friend on how they could pack their wives' makeup kits and all the stuff that you ladies need, you know, for a weekend away so that they wouldn't forget anything. And then they put the luggage in the trunk of one car, and then they had this double date that they were going to go on Friday afternoon. They had arranged for the kids and everything to be taken with friends. So they drove out past the airport to go to this restaurant, and then they whipped into the terminal just to make a quick phone call that they'd forgotten, they said. And they parked the car. Well, let's all go inside. So they all walked in, and imagine the surprised looks on the wives' faces when they presented the tickets to the security and went through and went on the plane to Houston for a weekend getaway. Now, it doesn't have to be anything
big.
But little surprises like that, what does that do to you?
Why, any wife would love something like that. And it's like you said, hotel weekends may be completely out of your price range, but that's all right. It isn't that I need an expensive weekend. It's the thought. It's the effort. And then the actual carrying out of the plan. I know couples who have been married for years, and they still hold tenaciously to a date every week. It's spending time with me. It's planning these things that make it so special. We're ready for number 10. Number 10, I wish my husband would love me by taking me out without the kids more, maybe just for a ride. Women who mention this really want to underline and highlight and pick up on the without the kids when they go out with their husbands and take the kids with them. The stress factor increases at an exponential rate because the kids are out of their environment. It just intensifies the pressure that the wife and mother has been subjected to all day long. She actually takes her office work with her, and instead of a much-needed diversion, it can actually be just an exhausting experience. It's coming home to her same nightly responsibilities. And even though the husband may say, "Let's go out. Now, don't worry. I'll look after the kids. I'll look after them." And what that generally winds up being is that the wife is sitting there eating, the husband's taking the kids to the restroom, or one of them's crying, he's walking them around, or something like that. It's just not a fun evening.
You know, you said taking the kids out with you. It's like taking your office work with you. But really, it's worse than that, because what if I had to take my office work with me, only I had no computer, I had no filing system, I had nobody to help me find things that I needed? You'd be much better off, wife, at home, where you have your playpen and all these toys and all these kinds of things to entertain the kids with, than you would be over here, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be careful here. Obviously, you would like to go out, but we're simply emphasizing this one point right now, that there are those times when the wife wants you to take her out without the kids. There are going to be other times that she wants you to include the kids in when you're going out, and we'll talk about that a little later.
Mm-hmm. But right now, that's it. How about number 11?
Number 11 is, I wish my husband would include me in the things that he does. Just include me in his life. One time years ago, we were doing a seminar in Oklahoma. It was Sunday morning. Annabelle and I were eating breakfast in the restaurant there. It was a real small town in eastern Oklahoma. And Annabelle and I grew up in eastern Oklahoma. The coon hunters were in there. They'd been out running their dogs and chasing coons all night. And they were eating breakfast. It's probably 6:30, 7 o'clock. And they were all eating at the counter in this restaurant, had their cowboy hats pushed up, you know, and they were eating their eggs and so forth. And you know how many wives there were there with them who had been out running dogs all night? None. Now, where were the wives? Well, according to the way the guys thought about it, the wives were at home doing what they like to do, which is take care of the kids, get everybody ready for Sunday school, talk to one another on the telephone, pack the diaper bags with the warm bottles of milk and all those kinds of things. This is the kind of thing that wives like to do.
And be sure and get dinner ready.
Yeah, be sure and have dinner ready. That's right. That's right. Now, look, there's nothing wrong with these guys enjoying going coon hunting.
And no wife would really want to go coon hunting, probably,
not
honey.
Not many would.
So what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about guys that overdo it. They just overdo it. These same six guys that are sitting there at the counter, when the high school football season is on, all six of them get in one car and follow the little high school football team all around eastern Oklahoma. In fact, that's why cowboy hats turn up on the side, so you can get six guys in one car. Anyway, forgive me for that. All right. But when the crappie are hitting, they know right where to go to sack them up. When the bass are spawning, they know right when they start their spawn, and they know right where to go to sack them. And they cut their wives out of their lives. Now, guys, you and I have got to understand that with Christ living through me, I have got to come to the end of living every weekend just to serve myself. Christ will not do that. Now, you can claim Christ is living through you all you want to, but if you're living like that, you're whistling Dixie. Christ is no more living through you than a hog wears a side saddle. You have got to offer yourself as a living sacrifice to Christ, to allow Him to do His will through you, and it will not be His will for you to spend every weekend off with the guys.
You know, we were talking about this with a group one time. And I had a woman say this to me. She said, "I don't need to worry about that, Annabelle. My husband takes me deer hunting every season to cook for him and his hunting buddies." That's not what we mean. Men may take their wives along to be their servant, to be their cook, to be a sex partner, or to be an audience. A wife likes to be taken as a companion. Mm. And her husband can make it also very special by saying things like, traveling just isn't much fun without you. I see interesting things, and I'm thinking, if only she were here to share this with me. And when I eat out at some fancy place, I look at the menu and I think, if she were here, this is what she would be ordering. I just think how much nicer it would be to have you there with me. Now, comments like these help a wife feel included even when she can't go along very often.
Mm-hmm. Now, the 12th way, I wish my husband would love me by trying to understand me. I think that this is that male logic versus female intuition. Now, just for your information, I want to run over what the dictionary says about those two words. Logic. This is a way of reasoning what is expected by the working of cause and effect. Intuition. The immediate knowing of something without the conscious use of reasoning. And this is how God has apparently wired the plain vanilla female and the plain vanilla male. The female is an intuitive person who just seems to know the solution to a problem without being able to logically tell you how she got there. Whereas the guy typically must go through 5 or 6 or 8 or 10 steps, logical steps, to arrive at the conclusion. Now, why would I bring this up? Because oftentimes a man views a woman as illogical because she can't explain how she got to her conclusion. She's not illogical. She's just different, praise God. I enjoy the differences. And a female cries out because she's not typically a logical, sequential thinker. She cries out for the man to understand her. She said, "Husband, if you'll just try to understand me, just let me explain how I feel." And she's frustrated because the guy can't be as intuitive as she is, it seems to me. So we must understand that God wants just the opposite. He wants us to realize we're different and just to accept one another like we are.
Mm-hmm. The female is, as you say, an intuitive creature. She's also a heart-centered person. She is an emotionally centered person.
Annabelle, can I just ask a question here to throw this in? That has nothing to do with intelligence either, does
it? That's right.
No. And I think that a lot of men sometimes assume that because they're perhaps more logical, that maybe they're more intelligent than their wife. And intelligence has nothing to do with it. They're just different, aren't they?
That's right. And when I tell you or try to communicate to you, husband, that I feel a certain way about something, my attempts at explaining why I feel that way are usually very feeble. I don't do that very well. But women love for men to at least try to understand them. A woman loves to hear those words from a man. "I think I understand you."
So when you see me as your husband really struggling with trying to understand you, asking questions, what does that communicate to you?
That you're interested, that you're at least trying to understand, that you're working at loving me.
So if I let Christ live through me to do that, it's going to be well worth the effort because it's going to communicate my love to you.
We hope you've been encouraged by the teaching ministry of Lifetime Guarantee. You can find similar resources, messages, and articles at lifetime.org. We have a wealth of information on marriage, parenting, depression, overeating, freedom and identity in Christ, as well as men's and women's issues. You'll find a complete catalog at lifetime.org. Two quick reminders before we conclude. Feel free to share this MP3 with others, especially those you know who might need it. Do so with our encouragement and blessing. And we would sincerely appreciate your financial assistance in making the ministry available to more people. Just go to lifetime.org and you'll find a secure way to support Lifetime Guarantee on the homepage. And finally, we pray God's blessings for you.